Blog Talk Radio.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves and the
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler. And my co-host this evening is Tim Bench from the state of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, we're grateful that you're tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ around the world. We would ask that you would take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you would like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns for my co-host, you can send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com, or you can give me a call at the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your immediate area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show.
The light we will spread.
We will spread.
Listening to this radio broadcast, Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just so grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, pray that you would be with my co-host this evening, Tim Bench. Pray that you will continue to bless his efforts as he break unto us the bread of life. We pray that you will continue to strengthen his resolve to sow the seed of the kingdom. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, and we thank you for his precious sacrifice on Calvary, for we recognize without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, we pray that you will be with our listeners. We pray that their hearts may be pricked, that they may hear something that will cause them to consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you will save us. For us in Christ's name, we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. This is a special edition, and we try to do these special editions at least once a month. The first Monday of the month, we want to do a special edition show. But on tonight, we want to do a special edition show because my co-host, Tim Bench, will be speaking on the subject abortion. And ladies and gentlemen, we ask that you would please pay close attention to this lesson and give Tim your undivided attention. We just want to thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Open your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show.
Roll Jordan, roll.
Roll Jordan,
roll.
Roll Jordan,
roll.
Roll Jordan,
I want to go to heaven when I die.
To roll Jordan, roll.
to been there.
Oh, mother, you ought to been there.
Oh, mother, you ought to been there. Father, you ought to have been there.
Oh, Father, you ought to have been there.
Oh, Father, you ought to have been there.
Roll, Jordan, roll.
Roll, Jordan, roll.
Roll, Jordan,
roll.
Roll, Jordan,
roll.
Roll, Jordan.
I want to go to heaven when I die. Say, sister, you ought to have been there.
Oh, sister, you ought to have been there.
Well, sister, you ought to have been there.
To roll, Jordan, roll.
Oh, Lord, roll.
Roll, Jordan, roll. Jordan,
roll.
Roll, Jordan,
roll.
Roll, Jordan.
I want to go to heaven when I die.
To roll.
I want to go to heaven when I die.
To roll, Jordan, roll.
Oh, brother, you ought to have been there.
Oh, brother, you ought to have been there.
Oh, brother, you ought to have been there.
To roll, Jordan, roll.
Oh, roll.
Roll, Jordan, roll.
Roll, Jordan,
roll. Jordan,
roll. I want to go to heaven when I die.
Roll, Jordan, roll.
I say, Christian, you ought to have been there.
Oh, Christian, you ought to have been there.
Well, Christian, you ought to have been there.
Roll, Jordan, roll.
Oh, roll,
Jordan,
roll.
Roll, Jordan, roll.
I want to go to heaven when I die.
Roll, Jordan, roll.
Roll, Jordan,
roll.
Roll, Jordan,
roll.
Roll, Jordan,
roll.
Roll,
Jordan.
I said I want to go to heaven when I
radio show special edition. Now my co-host Tim Bench and his subject, abortion.
Good evening. I want to welcome everyone to our special edition show this evening. As Stevie Butler mentioned, my name is Tim Bench and I'm calling in tonight from Abilene, Texas. And wherever you may be listening to our show tonight, we want to thank you for joining us. We are always excited and honored when we get feedback. We've got people not only across the United States, but across much of the globe who listen to our show and then will submit questions and comments. And it's always thrilling to see God's word spread so far across the world. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful that you have chosen to be with us tonight. Tonight's special edition is going to be a difficult one. We are going to tackle a subject that is hugely divisive, not just in politics, not just socially, but also in churches today. And we want to look at this tonight, as we're going to see in some detail, from a historical perspective, a social perspective, and finally, and most importantly, that being a biblical perspective. And as Stevie mentioned, our topic for tonight is going to be that of abortion. And before we get started, I want to update our listeners. As Stevie talked about, we do these special edition shows about once a month. And when we do a special edition broadcast, those broadcasts will be 1 hour in length. So we will go for about 30 to 35 minutes, have a short break, and then come back. And then we may do a second edition of this, or a part two of this, sometime in December. But we will certainly keep our listeners updated when we make decisions on doing that. To get started tonight, there have been many outrages and dark deeds in the annals of U.S. history. For example, we could talk about the near genocide of the American Indian, for example, or the Tuskegee experiments from 1932 to 1972, where black citizens of the United States were used as human guinea pigs with falsified syphilis studies and treatments. There was the implementation of slavery at the birth of this country, not rectified until 1865. And as we all know, the resulting stories of horror and death and mistreatment, all of which almost defy belief. And there are dozens of other examples. The Trail of Tears, Forced Indian March, the Washita River slaughter led by General George Armstrong Custer, and so on. All of these events, which are indisputable facts of U.S. history, pale in comparison, however, in the eyes of many people, to the abomination that the Supreme Court of this nation decreed to be law back in 1973, known as Roe v. Wade, or Roe versus Wade, wherein abortion was deemed legal in the United States. In early 2018, earlier this year, the total number of aborted children in the U.S. since 1973 surpassed the 60 million mark. And I want to repeat that, 60 million. That number surpasses the totals of those killed by Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler combined in World War II, and then doubling that number again. Now let's pause for a moment and let the magnitude of that number sink in. 60 million unborn children, 60 million tiny infants, the population of New York City and Los Angeles and Dallas and Houston combined still doesn't equal 60 million people. 60 million tiny, defenseless children allowed to be slaughtered by your government, all in the name of women's freedom to choose. Our tax dollars going to fund such operations as Planned Parenthood, which carry out these mass murder incidents, while the U.S. government babbles endlessly across the globe about its dedication to the protection of human life and global peace. Much of what you are going to hear tonight, especially about the origins and stances of Planned Parenthood and its founder, may be shocking and even unbelievable to some people, but I invite any and all listeners tonight, wherever you may be, to research for yourself the information which will be presented this evening from an array of sources. I want to begin tonight's lesson from an article from Mike Willis entitled, Is Abortion Sinful? Quote, on January 22, 1973, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled on the Roe versus Wade case, striking down Texas law prohibiting abortion. Since 1973, abortion has been legal in the United States. In the court ruling, personhood was denied to the unborn, in spite of the fact that the unborn can be heirs, have the right to sue for damages, and to have a guardian appointed on their behalf, etc. In the years since the 1973 ruling, 20 million unborn babies have been slaughtered in American abortuaries. More Americans have died by abortion than in all of the wars in which our soldiers have participated, end quote. Willis's quote and his statistics here are from 1990, and in the past 28 years, the horrifying numerical totals have done nothing but increase, tripling from 20 million to 60 million at a rate of roughly 1.4 million aborted fetuses and aborted lives per year. The reason I wanted to share that quote, which was so astonishing to me when I found it, was, again, the fact that even by 1990, more Americans had died by abortion than in all of the wars in which our soldiers have participated in the history of this nation. That's World War II, that's World War I, that's the Civil War, that's the Spanish-American War, etc., all combined paled in comparison 28 years ago to the effects of abortion. As we've stated already, we're going to be looking at abortion from a variety of angles and approaches: its history, its rationale, its justification socially, politically, and most of all, we are going to apply what the Bible says to this flashpoint issue. And make no mistake, this is a very emotionally charged issue for many people. Stevie and I have both seen that this week with multiple Facebook postings about this topic. Abortion is very much an issue which affects every facet of our society today, and that certainly includes churches and supposed Christians, and the statistics that we are going to consider tonight will be shocking to each and every listener. Let's begin with the common argument, and those common arguments often follow along these lines, and as we hear this and as we read this together, see if this sounds familiar. This is from Andrew Koppelman from the Northwestern Law Review from 1990. Quote, "When women are compelled to carry and bear children, they are subjected to involuntary servitude in violation of the 13th Amendment. Even if the woman has stipulated to have consented to the risk of pregnancy, that does not permit the state to force her to remain pregnant," end quote. So, what are the typical comments made from the pro-choice crowd? Here are some examples. We'll start with arguably the most well-known proponent for abortion, that being Hillary Clinton, who said, quote, "Being pro-choice is trusting the individual to make the right decision for herself and her family, and not entrusting that decision to anyone wearing the authority of government in any regard," end quote. From Senator Bernie Sanders, quote, "We are not going back. We are not returning to the days of backroom abortions when countless women died or were maimed. The decision about abortion must remain a decision for the woman, her family, and a physician to make, not the government," end quote. So often we work under the assumption that all Republicans are absolutely opposed to abortion and all Democrats are absolutely in favor of abortion. Nothing could be further from the truth. From the Pew Research Center and from 538.com, polling conducted in 2017 that found that about 75% of Democrats say abortion should be legal in all or most cases, and that verbiage becomes important, compared to 34% of Republicans. Let me read that again. 34% of so-called Republicans believe that abortion should be legal in all or most cases. Over one-third of Republicans have no qualms whatsoever with abortion as a practice. From Fortune magazine by Glenn Fleischman on July 24th of this year, quote, 52% of Republican voters polled expressed support for Roe v. Wade, a result at odds with policies put into place by GOP officials. 39% of Republicans polled opposed the landmark legal decision, end quote. Again, let these numbers sink in. 52%, over half of all registered Republican voters polled, would allow abortion at least in some cases. And again, only 39% of Republicans polled opposed the landmark legal decision. Again, we so often operate under the belief, the false belief, that all Republicans oppose abortion, and that simply is not true. In fact, there are actually Republican groups which have been set up and are in operation as, and they portray themselves as such, as being pro-choice. One example that you can look up online is the Republican Majority for Choice, GOPChoice.org. This is a quote from their organization under the title Who We Are. Quote, RMC is a national organization with members truly committed to limiting the scope of government in the personal lives of Americans. We are Republicans because we believe in the rights and the power of the individual. These values should extend to all areas of policies, including social issues. Individuals and families have the right to unfettered access to reproductive choices, from education to abstinence, contraception, motherhood, adoption, safe legal abortion, end quote. Again, this is from a Republican group, Republican Majority for Choice. Quite obviously, this is not merely a Republican or Democrat issue or a conservative or liberal issue, as so many would have you believe. Again, Stevie and I have seen this week several posts from people who make categorical statements about each political party and about the political leanings of people, and we find that that absolutely is not accurate and is not true, and that becomes very important as we proceed through our study. Gallup poll data from May 2014, again, corroborated these findings and found that just over 50% of Americans believe that abortion should be legal under certain circumstances. 28% and increasing believe abortion should be legal under any circumstances, and only 21%, roughly one in five, believe that abortion should be illegal in all circumstances. So again, the acceptance, the public acceptance of abortion as a practice is increasing amongst Republicans, it is increasing amongst Democrats, and by definition, it is increasing amongst the Christian church. From the Pew Research Center. Again, this, and people can go online and look at this information as much as you want to. From 2007 to 2014, the percentage of Americans polled who allowed or accepted abortion as a viable alternative to a pregnancy increased from 51 to 53%. Pew Research Center also has many charts on views about abortion by specific religious groups, and they have everything broken out: Buddhist, Catholic, Evangelical, Protestant, Hindu, Jehovah's Witness, etc. And I want to read a few of these because, again, these numbers are absolutely staggering. The percentage of Jews in the United States who accept abortion is 83%, over 4 in 5. It is 63% with Orthodox Christians. It is 68% among Hindu. It is 48%, roughly half, amongst Catholic. Again, abortion has become overwhelmingly supported by many Christian faiths. From PacTank, this was from January 22, 2018, by David Mash in his article, American Religious Groups Vary Widely in Their Views of Abortion. And he gives some specific details here. Quote, most Americans, 57%, are supportive of legal abortion, according to a 2017 Pew Research Center survey. He cites some examples of specific faiths here. Quote, most Jehovah's Witnesses, 75%, and Mormons, 70%, say abortion should be illegal in most or all cases. And again, the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are in the vast minority here. You have a handful of other evangelical churches which will oppose abortion, but again, the cumulative statistics across the Christian faith tell us very quickly how this is changing as a demographic within society. The bottom line is this. The assumption is often that church members or so-called Christians are categorically opposed to abortion, and nothing could be further from the truth. The most amazing findings from the Pew Research Council and again, this is listed on their website for anyone to look at, is titled Americans' Views on Abortion by Religious Group. And this starts, and it's a pie chart which goes down, and it shows what percentages of each individual denomination or faith support abortion. The Unitarian Universalists are at 90% supporting abortion. Atheists and agnostics are both at 87%. As we mentioned, the Jewish faith is at 83%. The Episcopal Church, which is very large and very powerful, is at 79%. Roughly 4 in 5 people who are a part of the Episcopal faith support unrestricted access to abortion. The United Church of Christ is at 72%. The Presbyterian Church is at 65%. The Baptist National Baptist Convention is at 57%, and the American Baptist churches are at 47%. And going down, we finally come to the Church of Christ, which many of us within this group are members of, 36%. Over one-third of the members of the Church of Christ believe in total access to abortion. These numbers are astounding. Again, in a church of 200 people, which is about the size that many of us attend, that means that on average there will be 72 people in that audience, if polled and if truthful, who will agree completely that abortion is an acceptable moral choice. I want to read a citation very quickly from the United Church of Christ, and this is from their website, and this is their formal position and their reasoning behind it. The United Church of Christ, the position, should abortion be legal, and this is their reply, quote, God has given us life, and life is sacred and good. God has also given us the responsibility to make decisions which reflect a reverence for life in circumstances when conflicting realities are present. Jesus affirmed women as full partners in the faith, capable of making decisions that affect their lives. The United Church of Christ has affirmed and reaffirmed since 1971 that access to safe and legal abortion is consistent with a woman's right to follow the dictates of her own faith and beliefs in determining when and if she should have children. We have also supported that women with limited financial means should be able to receive public funding in order to exercise her legal right to the full range of reproductive health services. What is legally available to women must be accessible to all women, end quote. Again, these quotations and these citations are astounding, and the rationale that churches offer are astounding. I want to read a brief citation from James Hester entitled The Bible on Abortion, because, again, I think this is going to focus so much. We often hear that an unborn child is just merely a glob of some sort of molecules, doesn't have consciousness, doesn't have feelings, or the ability to feel, physically feel, and that's often offered as a rationale for terminating that pregnancy. This is from James Hester, quote, by the end of the second week of pregnancy, there is a distinct embryo present. The fetus has a developing brain and a rudimentary heart. By the end of the third week of pregnancy, the fetus has the beginning of vertebrae, developing eyes and ears, a closed circulatory system separate from the mother's, a working heart, the beginnings of lungs, and budding limbs. By the end of the fourth week of pregnancy, the fetus has the beginnings of vertebrae, developing eyes and ears, a closed circulatory, a working heart, lungs, a developing nose, and a pancreas. And he cites Gray's Anatomy. This is the beginning of a human being. Yet those who believe in the woman's right to choose disregard the fact that after only 9 weeks, unborn babies can feel pain. Yet 48%, nearly half of all abortions, are done after this point, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. From Dr. Matthew Roth of Harvard University, quote, it is scientifically correct to say that individual human life begins at conception. Additionally, from a respected source of information, a new individual is created when the elements of a potent sperm merge with those of a fertile egg, end quote. Planned Parenthood, It's a group that most all of us are familiar with, is often praised as an organization dedicated to the so-called health of women. Yet few know about or even care about the stunning views of Margaret Sanger, the founder of the organization. Sanger had little interest in health issues for women and was far more focused on her racially charged eugenics efforts. As we consider her exact quotes, all of which here are cited and referenced, if any listener would like a copy, ask yourself how anyone could support this organization. These are the words of Margaret Sanger in an interview with John Parsons in 1947, quote, "But for my view, I believe that there should be no more babies," end quote. From Women and the New Race, written in 1920, quote, "The most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it," end quote. In a letter written to Dr. Clarence Gamble in December of 1939, again, these are the exact words of Margaret Sanger, who is portrayed as such a heroine and the founder of Planned Parenthood, quote, "We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population," end quote. That sort of eugenics and racial view was not rare in her life. Margaret Sanger, in her autobiography, published in 1938, page 366, said the following, quote, "I accepted an invitation to talk to the women's branch of the Ku Klux Klan. I was escorted to the platform, was introduced, and began to speak. In the end, through simple illustrations, I believed I had accomplished my purpose. A dozen invitations to speak to similar groups were proffered," end quote. In an interview with Mike Wallace in 1957, quote, "I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things just marked when they're born. That to me is the greatest sin that people can commit," end quote. More from Margaret Sanger. This is from Woman and the New Race in 1920, quote, "The most serious evil of our times is that of encouraging the bringing into the world of large families. The most immoral practice of the day is breeding too many children," end quote. From Margaret Sanger in 1919, with birth control and racial betterment, quote, "Eugenics without birth control seems to us a house built upon the sands. It is at the mercy of the rising stream of the unfit," end quote. Obviously, that was the type of language which would be heard about 20 years later during the rise of Nazi Germany. From Sanger, 1921, "The eugenic value of birth control propaganda," quote, "As an advocate of birth control, I wish to take advantage of the present opportunity to point out the imbalance between the birth rate of the unfit and the fit. Admittedly, the greatest present menace to civilization can never be rectified by the inauguration of a cradle competition between these two classes," end quote. This is astonishing. This sounds almost Darwinian. We have the fit separated from the unfit, and the unfit summarily do not deserve to live, as per Margaret Sanger. And I want to remind everyone, again, this is the founder of Planned Parenthood. From Margaret Sanger, "The Eugenic Value of Birth Control Propaganda," page 5, quote, "The most urgent problem today is how to limit and discourage the over-fertility of the mentally and physically defective," end quote. From Margaret Sanger, 1918, "When should a woman avoid having children?" Quote, "No more children should be born when the parents, though healthy themselves, find that their children are physically or mentally defective," end quote. Again, this is eugenics. There's no way around that. Number 11. This is from NYU, and it's from Sanger in her article, "America Needs a Code for Babies," published in 1934, quote, "A marriage license shall in itself give husband and wife only the right to a common household and not to the right of parenthood," end quote. Sanger in 1934, quote, "No woman shall have the legal right to bear a child, and no man shall have the right to become a father without a permit for parenthood, end quote. Sanger again from 1934, quote, permits for parenthood shall be issued upon application by city, county, or state authorities to married couples, providing they are financially able to support the expected child, have the qualifications needed for proper rearing of the child, have no transmittable diseases, and on the woman's part, no medical indication that maternity is likely to result in death or permanent injury to health, end quote. Sanger continues in the same article, quote, no permit for parenthood shall be valid for more than one birth, end quote. And again, let that sink in. Again, if you were deemed fit by her, if you were deemed acceptable by her, the number of children that you could have would be limited to one. Margaret Sanger, 1932, this is from the Library of Congress, quote, apply a stern and rigid policy of sterilization and segregation to that grade of population whose progeny is tainted or whose inheritance is such that objectionable traits may be transmitted to offspring, end quote. This is racial supremacy. This is racial segregation. That's actually the word that she uses here, sterilization and segregation. Margaret Sanger, 1923, quote, these two words, birth control, sum up our whole philosophy. It means the release and cultivation of the better elements in our society and the gradual suppression, elimination, and eventual extinction of defective stocks, those human weeds which threaten the blooming of the finest flowers of American civilization, end quote. If you're listening tonight, wherever you may be located, and you're a fan of Planned Parenthood, or if you are a supporter of Planned Parenthood, are you familiar with the history of that group? Are you familiar with the racially charged and racially repugnant views of the founder, Margaret Sanger? We're going to take a quick break at this point. We'll be back in about 4 minutes or so, and we'll continue, and we'll go into part two of our discussion on abortion and its morality. We, again, want to thank everyone for being with us. We'll return shortly. Thank you.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you would like to have your events or activities announced on this broadcast, please contact us at telephone number 910-491-6405 in the Carolina studio, or send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. On August the 4th through the 9th, 2019, the Northside Church of Christ will be the official host of the 2019 Florida State Lectureship of the Churches of Christ in conjunction with the Jacksonville, Florida congregations. The Newburgh Church of Christ, located in Louisville, Kentucky, is currently seeking a full-time minister. Please submit all inquiries to newburghchurchcoc@gmail.com. Candidates will be forwarded a job description and application packet. Completed applications should be submitted along with the candidate's resume, references, and doctrinal philosophy, and a sample of an audio or video recorded sermon. On October the 31st, 2018 through November the 2nd, 2018, there will be a gospel meeting at the Church of Christ at Cedar Valley, and that address is 4013 North Dallas Avenue, Lancaster, Texas, 75134. The telephone number is 469-567-1822, and that website is coccv.org, and the guest speaker will be Alvin Daniels from Miami, Florida. On November the 30th through December the 1st, 2018, the 34th Annual Ladies Conference will be held at the Southside Church of Christ, and that address is 800 Elmer Avenue, Durham, North Carolina, 27707. And the theme for this conference will be The First Things First, Matthew 6:33, Mission Possible. Keynote speaker will be Mary Carter from the Gold Hill Church of Christ. And for more information, please visit their website at www.ss.sside.org. On November the 17th through the 22nd, 2018, the 2018 Southwestern Christian College Lectureship will be held in Terrell, Texas. On November the 2nd through the 4th, 2018, the United Voice Worship Conference will be held in Houston, Texas. For more information, please see their website at www.unitedvoiceworship.org/register. On November the 3rd and 4th, 2018, the 26th Annual Homecoming Celebration and Song Fest will be held at the New Horizon Church of Christ, and that address is 6130 South U.S. Highway 441, Lake City, Florida 32025. And the guest speaker will be Terrence Bleek, and the theme of this gospel meeting will be "Have You Ever Thought About?" The service schedule will be November the 3rd. The second annual song for us will be from 6 to 8 p.m. And Sunday, November the 4th, there will be a sermon at 9:30. There will be a sermon at 10:30. There will also be a lunch served at 12 p.m. Then there will be a worship service at 1:30 p.m. For more information, please call 352-278-2720. And their website is www.newhorizonchurchofchrist.com. On March the 21st through the 24th, 2019, the Millennial Reach Conference will be presented by God's Plan Millennial Reach Conference, and that address will be 21201 Northwest Lejeune Road, Miami, Florida 33126. For more information or registration, please visit their website at www.reach.com or give them a call at 228-331-3324. And just a program reminder, Stevie B's Media Production presents, we're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. The first Monday of every month, we're doing a special edition show for the Gospel Light Radio Show. And on that show, I have one of my co-hosts will be bringing a lesson from the Word of God. Then on Tuesday, each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show. And each week on that show, we have guest speakers from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. We also have a segment, The Community Corner. That's for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services that they're offering to our community. And also my co-host, Edward Bishop from Niagara Falls, New York. We present the Word of God, a lesson from the Word of God as well. And then on Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show. And on that show, I have 8 co-hosts who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week, 2 of my co-hosts will be on the air. And I'm also taking questions from my shouted out platform on social media, Facebook, and posing these questions to my co-host on the show. And then on Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'm hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast radio show. And the first week of the month, we have the Story Glory segment, which I'll be interviewing artists, debuting new music, featuring old music. And this Friday night, November the 2nd, will be my special guest in the Story Glory segment will be the Amazing Grace Acapella Singers from Jacksonville, Florida. And the second week, my daughter Tati B, she's co-hosting the show, and she'll be doing the whole playlist on that show. But now on this Friday night, ladies and gentlemen, my daughter Tati B will be doing the interview for this Friday night show. And also the third week of each month, we're doing the Top 20 Countdown show. The fourth week, we're doing the Talent Search show. I give my listeners 60 seconds to stand on the world stage to sing their song. First and second place prizes will be awarded by my special guest judges. We also once a quarter of the Marathon show. That's a 3-hour show for whatever group of artists that we're featuring on that show. And we'll just be playing their music on that broadcast. And if you are an artist and you would like to have your music played on the radio show, just send me your MP3 formatted tracks via Dropbox to my email, srbutler1009@yahoo.com. You can also listen to all my shows now, on-demand episodes. If you can't catch the live shows, just tune in to my affiliate internet stations for these on-demand episodes on Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, ACARadio.net, iWave Radio, MCCBroadcasting.com, IBCBroadcasting.com, World of Acapella, also on YouTube. Go to Church TV Network, go to their playlist, Acapella Radio, and you can also go to my YouTube channel, Stevie Butler, a.k.a. Stevie B, and you'll see those on-demand episodes as well. Go to my website, Spreaker.com, Spreaker.com, and type my name in the search bar, Stevie R. Butler, and you'll see all those on-demand episodes as well. Also like to thank my sponsors who are sponsoring this program, Sharon Norwood out of Chicago, Illinois, and her business is Organo, a health product for healthier living, and Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch. She's out of Nashville, Tennessee. And the three E's of Stevie B's Media Production, it is the objective of this broadcast to educate, to edify, and to encourage you from the Word of God. And that will conclude our programming announcements.
When God says no, and we won't listen to the end,
just remember,
don't forget,
Father knows. I remember, God in you,
know
what's best.
Yeah,
my God,
He knows
what's best. Late in the midnight hour, I was crying and all alone, waiting for an answer. My hope's gone. I even called on my best friend, and she could not be found. Lord, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, where are you now? So I went to church the next Sunday morning, looking for my breakthrough. I knew a change would come if I just hold on, 'cause God's word is true. But then the preacher said something, and it took me by surprise. Sometimes God says no, but just like Job, you gotta trust him, my child. When God says no, but when the preacher said it,
and
I didn't quite understand. He said, don't forget, just trust your Father, 'cause He knows what's best. When I lay awake in the middle of the night, with tears streaming from my eyes, I remember, Father knows, no matter what you're going through, God, 'cause
He knows,
Father knows. Started to feel a little better, 'cause He started talking about my Jesus and the Garden of Gethsemane, and how He prayed to the Father, let this cup pass from me. Then He did just like me, y'all. Said He went to His best friend, and His friends let Him down. He said, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you now? You see, sometimes God is moving, and we don't understand. See, Jesus paid the cost when we were lost, and it was all a part of God's master plan. So when you're waiting for that answer, and God says no, just go ahead and shout,
hey,
and have no doubt.
I trust your
Father. The Father knows more,
hey,
than you. When God says no,
says no,
no, no, no, no,
and
no.
To the
see, it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps.
Father knows.
That's that eternal home. And when you cried and you prayed and you cried and you feel there's nothing left, just put it in the hands of the Father and remember, no matter what it is or what it looks like, God, He knows. Yes, He knows.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show, special edition. Now my co-host, Tim Bench, and his subject, abortion.
Thank you, Stevie. If you're just joining us, our topic tonight is the flashpoint discussion on a highly volatile topic, and that is abortion. As we have seen, this is not merely a Democrat versus Republican issue. This is an issue which is growing and has been growing for several years now in acceptance amongst every Protestant denomination, amongst every church faith, with acceptance in many denominations at 60 and 70 and in some cases even 80%. What we've been looking at for the last few moments is Margaret Sanger and her racial views, her eugenics views. And again, this was the woman who founded Planned Parenthood. So again, we have to evaluate and consider what the original purpose of the organization was. Before we begin that, we had planned on a one-hour show, and with Stevie's permission, we're going to go a little bit over. If you would be kind enough, we're going to go 30 more minutes, and we're going to, again, look at a few more observations from Margaret Sanger, and then I want us to have plenty of ample time to look specifically at what the Bible says. That should answer our questions on all matters of living and ethics and morality. And it is surprising the amount of information that we get from the Bible about this topic, even though abortion did not exist as we know it today 2,000 years ago. Continuing with Margaret Sanger, and as I said before the break, I know that many of these quotes are shocking and astonishing, and I know there may be people out there in our audience who are saying, oh, well, she couldn't have said that. That's not possible. That's made up. Anyone who wants a copy of these notes, please feel free to contact Stevie Butler. Please feel free to contact the Gospel Light. I will readily and be very happy to supply documentation to anyone who wants it on these quotes and on these stances that Margaret Sanger had. Margaret Sanger, from March of 1918, in her writing Morality and Birth Control, quote, "All of our problems are the result of overbreeding among the working class. Knowledge of birth control is essentially moral. Its general, though prudent, practice must lead to a higher individuality and ultimately to a cleaner race," end quote. And again, as we said before the break, you'll notice how much of the verbiage that she uses here sounds so much like Nazi Germany just a few years later, where she's talking about overbreeding and racial superiority, and the term that she uses here, a cleaner race. From Margaret Sanger, The Pivot of Civilization in 1922, quote, "Feeble-mindedness perpetuates itself from the ranks of those who are blandly indifferent to their racial responsibilities. It is largely this type of humanity we are now drawing upon to populate our world for the generations to come. In this orgy of multiplying and replenishing the earth, this type of passu multiplying and perpetuating those direst evils in the world in which we must, if civilization is to survive, rip up by the very roots," end quote. Finally, from Woman and the New Race in 1920, quote, "Birth control itself, often denounced as a violation of natural law, is nothing more or less than the facilitation of the process of weeding out the unfit, of preventing the birth of defectives, or of those who will become defectives. If we are to make racial progress, this development of womanhood must precede motherhood in every individual woman," end quote. Again, the shocking language where she's talking about the unfit and the need to weed those out. This is nothing more than the extermination of human life by anyone that she might deem less than perfect. Here is perhaps the most astonishing of all observations from Margaret Sanger, and again, the so-called champion of women's rights to millions of women across the globe nowadays. These are the words from Margaret Sanger. Quote, hordes of people are born who live, yet who have done absolutely nothing to advance the race one iota. Their lives are hopeless repetitions. Such human weeds clog up the path, drain up the energies and the resources of this little earth. We must clear the way for a better world. We must cultivate our garden. Instead of decreasing and aiming to eliminate the stocks that are most detrimental to the future of the race and the world, it tends to render them to a menacing degree dominant. We are paying for and even submitting to the dictates of an ever-increasingly, unceasingly spawning class of human beings who should never have been born at all. Birth control must lead ultimately to a cleaner race, end quote. Despite this mind-boggling evil, despite how much of a moral reprobate this woman appears to have been, despite these abominable viewpoints of racial disposability, and despite this flying in the face of biblical precedent, there are church groups today which wholeheartedly embrace Planned Parenthood and their efforts. From the Life News website on October 22, 2018, just days ago, and again, this is a church website, quote, on the evening of November 9th, the so-called Religious Coalition for Reproductive Choice is planning a blessing of the Planned Parenthood Abortion Center. This appears to be a response to the closing ceremony of the 40 Days of Life campaign. The event is called Holy Ground, Blessing the Sacred Space of Decision. An event description reads, during this clinic blessing, participants will gather with local faith leaders and guests to ask for God's blessing upon Planned Parenthood of Greater Ohio's East Columbus Surgical Facility, the abortion providers and staff, and all of those who pass through the center, end quote. And again, I want this to sink in with all of our listeners. Despite all that we have read, despite all that we have heard about the horrors of Planned Parenthood, about the foundational principles which Margaret Sanger espoused, you actually have church groups, you actually have religious groups fawning over themselves to promote this group. It's mind-boggling. It's more than many of us can comprehend how churches, religious groups, can actually embrace this level of evil. Some of the world's most well-known religious leaders outside the churches of Christ from a variety of faiths have chimed in on the subject of abortion. And regardless of what your religious backgrounds are, I think that there are some great points here. From Mother Teresa herself, quote, there are two victims in every abortion, a dead baby and a dead conscience, end quote. From Mahatma Gandhi, quote, it seems to me to be as clear as daylight that abortion would be a crime, end quote. But yet, what Gandhi and what Mother Teresa see and hold does not hold true for approximately 36% of members of the Church of Christ today. Now we're entering the final segment of our show, and without a doubt the most important segment of our show, and that's the segment that is as follows. What does the Bible have to say about the unborn? We can take a look. And again, the Bible provides some very clear specifics and parameters. Number one, the Bible describes the fetus, the unborn, as a human being. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, David talks about life. And I want to read this together very quickly. This is from the King James Version, if you have your Bible handy tonight. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. For thou hast possessed my reins, covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Again, reiterating two points that David makes here. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. And he also says in verse 14, he is fearfully and wonderfully made. David says three things here, three truths that every one of us, or that should apply to every one of us before we were born. Number one, simply, is that God created us. Likewise, God saw us. He says, your eyes saw my unformed substance. Your eyes saw what was happening. And number three, God planned our days. Each and every person has a purpose, has a plan upon this earth. And that plan certainly would not consist of being 6 months or 8 months developing in a mother's womb only to be killed in a horrifyingly painful procedure. The unborn are called babies in the Bible. This is in the New Testament, Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Elizabeth had heard the greeting of Mary and the baby. We know that baby was John the Baptist, and we know that the baby leaped for joy in her womb. Luke chapter 2, verse 12, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And obviously, as we know, that baby was Jesus, the baby Jesus, and the baby still in the womb, by the way. Back to the Old Testament, to Exodus 21, verses 22 to 25. This is interesting, especially for those who say that an unborn baby doesn't count. It's not a real person. It has no legal standing. It's just a glob of some sort. Starting with verse 22, this is Exodus, again, chapter 21. If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, thou shalt give life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Again, this is the concept of lex talionis, which appeared first in the Old Testament. But again, it specifically points out here, if her fruit depart from her, or if she loses the baby, if she loses that life which is inside of her, he who caused it is going to be punished. Exodus 21 could not be more clear. If the baby dies because of some kind of misdeed or some kind of violent action, life was to be taken for life. The Bible here is saying that the same punishment as would come upon someone who killed an adult would likewise come across someone who killed an unborn child. The Bible also tells us that even unborn children possess distinctive human traits. The unborn are called by God even before birth. Genesis chapter 25, verses 21 through 26. Two babies jostled within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. The two babies, as we know, were Jacob and Esau fighting it out. These were alive. They were active. These were not merely blobs of cells of some sort. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 through 5, and this is a long reading, but there are two main points that we have to draw here. Isaiah says this about himself: "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword, in the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft, in his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with the Lord." Listen carefully here to verse 5, "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the name of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." If we are free to simply kill, if we are free to simply slaughter the unborn, we're certainly going against God's design here. Either that or Isaiah was a liar. Again, reading from verse 5, "The Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant." Going back to verse 1, "The Lord hath called me from the womb. And this is Isaiah speaking. Again, the Bible is abundantly clear over and over and over about the sanctity of human life, about how important life is and the ultimate punishment for those who would take human life. As we begin to wrap up this evening, I want to make one thing extremely clear for anybody who is listening to our show. And this applies to myself. It would apply to Stevie Butler. It would apply to Glenn McMillan. It would apply to everyone else associated with or who is a part of the Gospel Light radio show. No one affiliated with this station or with this forum ever would condone, approve of, or suggest any form of physical violence against abortion supporters or abortion providers, ever, under any circumstances. And I want to make that very clear. Oftentimes when you have a presentation like this and take a firm stand against something, you will have people who will come out of the woodwork and say, oh, well, you're advocating violence, you're advocating retribution. That is not at all what we are doing. And the actual murders of abortion providers by the likes of Paul Hill and Scott Roeder and Eric Rudolph and their ilk are every bit as morally repugnant as the babies who are killed by abortion. And if we think logically, why would anyone possibly think that murder is an acceptable or viable action versus those who commit murder in the first place? You're committing the exact same sin that you're angry with another person for committing. And it is nonsensical. It is idiotic to murder those or to engage in violence against those that you're likewise angry with for murder in the first place. So again, any physical violence against any person, it is illegal, it is immoral, and most of all, it is unscriptural. As Christians, our job and our duty and our charge is to go out and take the gospel to the entire world and teach people about the Bible, to teach people about the New Testament. If we do that effectively, which apparently we are not doing effectively, again, based on the statistics, we will see a greater appreciation and a greater value for the sanctity of human life. The course to take, obviously, versus abortion is to illustrate to people its reprobate morality, and again, not to inflict ever physical harm on those we disagree with, and doing so only emboldens and makes even more resolute those who support and promote abortion in the first place. That concludes our presentation for tonight. We've gone a few minutes over, and I apologize for that, but again, I think it's so important to have a thorough background on this highly volatile topic and where it came from, where it developed from. There are many, many sources available online. Again, I want to extend the offer to all of our listeners. If anybody would like a copy of this presentation or a copy of the materials or statistics or citations or quotes that we had here, please feel free to contact us and let us know. We will readily supply those. If there is anyone in our listening audience who is challenged by this, who may be considering going through with an abortion of some sort and would like someone to visit with, to talk with, to have additional Bible study with regarding this or any topic which might cause you to stumble or cause you to have a difficulty in your Christian walk, the Gospel Light has several very caring, very thoughtful, very considerate, and experienced teachers, preachers, students of the Bible who would be more than happy to assist you, to support you, to study with you, to help you in any way that we possibly can. Again, we want this to be a forum of Christian growth and edification at all times, and we want to support each other, and that includes our listeners at all times. We want to thank you again for being with us tonight. Let's end with a prayer very quickly. Wherever you are, let's stop and let's just pray together for just a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we come unto you tonight, Father, with heavy hearts as we study this horrible and tragic facet of modern-day American society. We're literally killing our own children. Our own grandchildren has become acceptable and has become a viable alternative. We pray, Father, your forgiveness. We pray that you would forgive us of our sins. And most of all, Father, we pray that you would look down on our nation and help to rectify this problem, which seems to be getting worse and worse and worse as more and more people embark in acceptance of open defiance to your word. Please be with us as we engage in our Christian walk. Help us to be shining lights to a darkened world. Be with us. Forgive us of our sins. It is in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.
Beautiful Lamb of God, guiltless and pure as snow, gentle and merciful, beautiful Lamb of God, sent from the Father's love, sent from the full above, sent to redeem us with his love. Beautiful Lamb,
show special edition.
Every time I pray, do. throughout the lifeline.
Throughout the lifeline.
You brought the sunshine.
The sunshine.
Throughout the lifeline. Since then I have known Christ, there has been such a change in my life.
You made my day. You came my way. You heard me every time I pray. You gave me peace. You gave me grace. You put a smile upon my face.
You were the one. You brought the sunshine
in my life.
You made